it's pretty cool. The things that the Lord would have me share this morning already were covered, so it's kind of just a review, I guess. Right, praise God. John chapter 12. Let's dip in a little bit here. Continue our journey through John, watch the life of Jesus through the eyes of John. John chapter 12. We left off, we took communion last Sunday together. Beautiful time. Beautiful thing we get to do as a group of believers. One of the things that Jesus would have us do is break bread with each other. Share from the same bread, share from the same cup. And it symbols our unity under Christ and so many things, his death and how it sets us free. Oh, we picked up there on communion on verse 24 and 25 and how those two go together. Jesus said in verse 24, truly, truly, when he says that, he's speaking with ultimate authority as if he is the author, which he is. He is the author of this word. When he says, verily, verily, you study that out. He's speaking like people would gasp when you would use that terminology. It's like, wow, the guy that wrote it is here. Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. That's where we found our communion last week. That's where we found our fellowship under the blood of Jesus. It was under those two realities. That Jesus' death bore much fruit in our lives, and that we need to become entangled in his death. You and I need to be entangled in the death of Jesus Christ so we can be raised with him. If I was to give a title for this next set of passages, it would be Loving Life versus Living Love. I'm going to say that very slowly and think about it a little bit. Comparing two different things, because a lot of it was mentioned already today. Loving life versus living love. It's just a simple reversal of two words, love and life. Depending on how you have the cart and the horse there, makes a huge difference. If you're loving life, as it says in verse 25 there, you're going to lose it. If you're living love, just switch it around. Just a simple switch. If you're living love, you're going to find this life, this abundant life that God promises. Loving life or living love. It's your choice. It's as backwards as me going outside with Asher to go sledding. And these would be my mittens. It'd say, Papa, that's not right. You're putting your shoes on your hands. You know, that's kind of weird. Loving life to God is really, really weird. We're clinging on to things that we're not supposed to. And he sees it like this. He just sees weirdness down here. He wants us to live for him. And that looks like living love. We live out love. Everybody get that illustration? Just so you remember, I want you to remember this one, okay? I'm gonna get some water. Who's got a coffee and water? Yeah, I want you to drink out of this. All right, anybody volunteer? There was new 5 years ago, this show, come on.
I don't think so.
I know where we're going.
I think I got a purifying tablet.
All right, so what does this mean, living love? Well, let's look at it. Jesus demonstrates it. He makes it easy for us. He breaks it out for us, so praise God for that. In verse 26, continuing forward, let's learn what it means to live love. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Just in case you didn't get that first part of the verse. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's just all in one verse there. We can have the tendency to separate serving God and following him and being where he is versus doing something for him. In our life of following Jesus Christ, of living this love, we're going to find that it's a following and a serving, and those two are coupled together. What's it look like to serve him without following him. Well, it looks like Matthew chapter 7, where there were several people that talked about, Lord, Lord, look at what we did for you. We did many mighty works, and we cast out demons, and we did this. We did wonderful works in your name. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Where do you think the problem is there? There was a serving, but not a following. If you're going to serve me, you're going to be where I'm at. That's what he's getting in this verse. And it's such a simple thing, but it's worth spending some time on, because we make very simple mistakes like that, and big mistakes, and we can get doing things and get busy and not be where Jesus is at. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Easy for the disciples, they could physically see Jesus. How do we follow him today? In that same chapter in Matthew 7 that I'm referring to, he actually ends up talking about those that hear my sayings and do them. That's the following of Jesus Christ. There's a hearing linked with doing. So the serving and the doing, and the hearing with the following. Those two being linked together. A hearing of God and then the doing. If you're just doing the doing, you're not doing anything. I think Simeon shared that without him, you can't do anything. That's another truth that goes along with us today. Dwight has also shared about love, living love. That's not going to happen outside of that powerful link of following him and serving him, being linked together. Intimacy with God is that hearing. It's not just hearing a preacher say something, hearing a command come out of heaven somewhere, shooting across the sky. There's an intimacy. Gretchen was sharing about that. There's an intimacy that's involved in hearing God. And sometimes it takes more than an hour. You're just breaking through the ice. You're drilling, got that auger, and you're popping through the ice. It takes a while to get through before you can get the fish, before you can have effectiveness with God. And that's not his fault. It's ours. It takes a lot of weeding and distractions to be peeled away. Amen. And you get into that intimacy. Then the hearing happens. And that links into the doing. In fact, it empowers the doing. If you're doing without that linking of the hearing, you're not empowered. You're going to get bitter, and you're going to be brutal. Everybody's going to know it. So those two need to be linked together. The hearing, the empowerment, and then linked to the doing. Serving and following. Living love. Mary and Martha, we just came from their story, of course, right? Mary would demonstrate the best of the hearing. There she is, just silent before the Lord at his feet. And Martha represented the doing, right? If just the two could get together, right? And they would have what? We'd have Mary and Martha together. We'd have Maranatha. That's what we would have. You'd have the two combined. So remember, Jesus said he loved both. And we think, well, Martha's, she's a legalist. She's way out, and it's all about Mary. No, it isn't. You know, it says Jesus loved both, and that's what matters. He loved both, and he would have both of those realities working in our life, but together, not now I'm hearing and now I'm doing. It's always together. They're always linked together. We're always hearing from the Lord. We're with him. When we're serving him, he's there with us. So very important. Simple but important. Maranatha is used once in the scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 on the exit of the letter. It's written, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And then he finishes that verse with Maranatha. The Lord is coming, it means. It's a very unique word. It's Aramaic. It's a unique word that they would use in the early church after these letters were written. A lot of the greetings would be Maranatha. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Jesus, show us. Just show us how to do this. He's going to continue doing that. We can talk academics all day long. We can talk about these things, but we need to see the example as well. And Jesus is going to demonstrate something very powerful here coming up in this Last Supper. Verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Jesus is troubled. He's not floating 10 feet off the ground and nothing touches him kind of thing. This is the same word we just came from where Lazarus was dead and Jesus was weeping. He was troubled inside his guts. He felt it. Amen. Same exact word there. And then fast forwarding in a couple chapters in 14, he'll use the same word and applying to us. He says, don't be troubled. In this world, you will have this trouble. You'll have this internal unrest, but be of good cheer. So the same thing he experienced, he says, now you can overcome, and he empowers us to do so. Let's take a look at this word a little bit, just so you can relate to the one that related to you, Jesus Christ. In all ways, he was tempted. He suffered. He felt the things of man. This trouble is mental anguish. It's gut-wrenching. I think I heard that today. Got it written down right there. These are just part of the definition I looked up. Just academia here. Just looking up this trouble that Jesus was experiencing here. Gut-wrenching. Groaning. Sorrow. Agitated. There was an agitation last night in prayer meeting. It was like, God, we want the Spirit to flow here. We know we need to be doing battle, you know, and that kind of thing. Why is there this kind of like deadness and stuff like that? You know, that agitation, that's the trouble inside there. That's not necessarily unholy. Taking away the calmness of mind is another part of this trouble. Inward commotion. Still on that same word, trouble, what Jesus experienced. Disquietness, restlessness, stirred up, rendered anxious, distressed, perplexed. It comes from a word that talks about water being calm and then being disturbed and rippled. In this anguish that Jesus is having, in this trouble that he's having, sometimes we could read this stuff, oh, just trouble, Jesus had a little trouble. No, just sit on it a while. Just think about it. The Son of Man, the Son of God, feeling these things that we feel, the calmness of mind not being there anymore, mental anguish, a groaning, the innards rolling and boiling, something's not right, unrested. In this anguish, Jesus clears the windshield to reveal the purpose of what he's even here for. So it's in this anguish that you see his purpose being clarified. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, take away this mental anguish, relieve me. Is it about relief and comfort? That's loving life. It's not living love. He's getting recalibrated here into the difference, and he's showing us what the difference is. Shall I seek comfort from the Father and just be attended by a bunch of angels right now to relieve my anguish? Or am I going to do what I've been called to do? Why I'm here? Am I going to discover my purpose and find that's my real food? That's my real food and discover why I'm down here. And then an internal satisfaction is going to be born that's just going to dispel all this uncertainty. I'm going to rise up in this strength now of this purpose I have. So I'm not going to treat the symptom. I'm going to find purpose. This is the integrity of Jesus that we've seen so many times. In the desert, when he was challenged by the devil, what did he get challenged with? He's hungry, he's starving. Bread, right? That's loving life. Eating of that bread and say, man, I did it. I went through the fasting. Now I deserve. That's loving life. That's not living love. Living love was to say no to that temptation, that thought he put in his head of that steaming fresh bread with garlic and all that stuff, and then to go through the different stages that he went through. Taking him up to the high place and showing him all the glory of man. That's loving life, man. The Syracuse game, the excitement, the power of man, all of that stuff. That's loving life. He said, no, just we're going to worship God. That's living love. Your enemy says things about you, just throws you under the bus, mistreats you and all of that, and all of that stuff, and you say, okay, an eye for an eye, man. Jesus said, no, that's loving life. I want you to live love. I want you to turn the other cheek. I want you to walk the extra mile. want you to invite the lame and the blind. Don't invite your friends when you have a birthday party. I want you to invite the ones that you can't stand and smell. Invite them. That's living love. Loving life is like creating this oasis of comfort around me and having people in my life that never challenge me, that just blow sunshine up me all the time and treat me well. This is not an easy teaching, folks, but this is the Christ that we follow. We were here a few years ago, and Luke, and Paul, you're getting a little rough here. Well, because I love you. I got to give you the whole truth here. Luke chapter 14. Then he said to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not your friends, your brothers, your family, your kinsmen, and your rich neighbors, lest they bid thee again. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and then you shall be blessed, for they can't repay thee. That's living love and not loving life. Loving life has more to do about you being at the center, about what you're receiving, about your situation. Living love is you are not in the center anymore. And in fact, you forget who you are. You can be so lost in loving others. My leg is bleeding, or, I didn't even realize it. You're that given over into this walk that Jesus had. How else could he sustain 40 days in the desert without eating? How else could he sustain these things, having the crown of thorns and being spit on? What was this joy that was set before him that he endured the cross? What was this joy? Continuing in Luke 14, just to finish this thought, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto them, blessed he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, the Lord's, you can see right through our baloney. A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many, invited many, sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all these things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. We're going to have a contest on excuse making. Anybody want to go against me? I'll whip your butt. I'm the best excuse maker that ever was. Why I didn't do this and why I didn't do that. Man, I can make them look pretty too. I got the best looking excuses you've ever seen. They don't flush with God. But this is what happened. By one, they gave excuse. I bought a piece of ground. All legitimate stuff. I bought some land. I bought some animals. Bought a new tractor. Got a wife. I got these things. Nothing evil about those things, but they all became excuses for why people stopped living love and start loving life and holding on to things instead of the one that created all the things. I want to have this integrity that Jesus has. I never want things to define me. I never want feelings to define me. Oh, I'm troubled. That's not who I am. The trouble is not who I am. He knows he's going to tell us who he is here. It's for this hour I came to save the world, the Savior of the world. He knew who he was, that was always being challenged, and he stood up against it every single time. Have the integrity of Jesus. Father, glorify thy name, back in John chapter 12. Glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it thought that it thundered out. And others said, an angel spoke to him. Remember being standing in the same exact place a year or so ago and doing Lewis's funeral, and we're in we're in Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge. And then lightning strikes right behind me, the closest ever struck to this church. And we're in that chapter talking about that, God's grace over his life and things like that. And there's this powerful thunder. the manifestation of God in a very difficult time, a time of trouble, God being manifest. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." There's only one way Jesus would draw men to him. It wouldn't be because he came through university. It wouldn't come through the accolades of man, because he was a bread king, you know, dividing the bread and fishes and feeding everyone in that context. It would be because he died and bled for you and me. If I be lifted up, that's what will draw all men unto me. If your wife sees you dead on the cross, laying your life down like that, husbands, that will draw her in. It is no mistake that Jesus would say, "Husbands, this is how you're to love your wife. Get on the cross and bleed and die." That will draw her in. She will feel security when you're dead on the cross. She will feel that respect. She will feel loved. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I think we should finish with a song today. Next week, we're going to get into the washing of the feet and how that represents this love that came to earth. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ, and how that, what that looked like. What would you choose in your last dinner with your family if you knew you were going to die and you were going to have that last dinner? What would you choose to do? Interesting what Jesus chose to do. We're going to dig deep into that one as we probe more into this living love and what it means for each one of us. Praise God. We thank you, Lord God. I'm just that fear and trembling, just trembling knowing you're present here with us right now, Lord. The manifestation of your power and strength in your body is so real today, and I'm so appreciative of it. Lord Jesus Christ, your people, your bride has spoken today. Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit is alive and well in these people. I thank you, Lord. We pray for opportunities today, Lord, to demonstrate your strength and power, to hear from you, Lord God, as we go forward. Hallelujah. Amen.
Breathing in life.
Praise God. Go and love somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen.